भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुगेदर विल रिसाइट। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 84th एंटाइटल द सेजेस टीचिंग्स एट कुरुक्षेत्र टेक्स्ट 67। तथा काम पूर्यमाणा सव्रजः सह बन्धवः परार्ध्याभरणक्षोम नानानर्गया परिच्छदे। ततः कामः पूर्यमाणः सव्रजः सह बान्धवः परार्ध्याम्भरणक्षोम नानानर्गय परिच्छदे। ततः कामः पूर्यमाणः सव्रजः सह बान्धवः परार्धयाभरणक्षोम नानानर्गया परिच्छदे। तथा कामः पूर्यमाणः माताजी तथा काम पूर्यमाणः बान्धवाभरणश्याम नानानर्घ्या परिच्छदे। तथा then kama with desirable objects, puramana satiated, savraja with the people of vraja, sahabandhava with his family members, para extremely, ardhya valuable, abharan with ornaments, क्षौम फाइन लाइनन, नाना वेरियस, अनर्घ्य प्राइसलेस, परिच्छद एंड हाउस होल्ड फर्निशिंग्स। जस्ट रीड द नेक्स्ट वर्स 68। वासुदेवो ग्रसने ग्रसेनाभ्याम कृष्ण उद्धव बलादिभिः दत्तमादाय पारिबर्हम् यापितो यदुभिर्ययो। Translation is together for 67-68. Translation: then after Vasudev, Ugrasen, Krishna, Uddhav, Balram and others had fulfilled his desires and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen and varieties of priceless household furnishings, Nand Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and the residents of Vraja. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, at the end of 3 months, Maharaj Nanda approached Krishna and told him, "My dear son, for one drop of perspiration from your divine face, I am ready to give up countless lives. Let us leave now for Vraja. I cannot spend any more time here." Then he went to Vasudev and told him, "My dear friend, please send Krishna to Vraja." And of King Ugrasena he requested, "Please order my friend to do this. If you refuse, I will have to drown myself here in Lord Parshuram's lake. Just watch if you do not believe me. We people of Vraja came to this holy place not to gain some piety on the occasion of the solar eclipse, but to get Krishna back or die." Hearing these desperate words from Nanda, Vasudev and others tried to pacify him with valuable gifts. Well versed in the arts of diplomacy, Vasudev consulted with his most trustworthy advisors and then satisfied Nanda by telling him, My dearest friend, O King of Vraja, it is of course true that none of you can live without Krishna. And how can we allow you to kill yourself? Therefore, by all means, I must send Krishna back to Vraja. I will do so right after we accompany him and his relatives and friends, among them many helpless women, back to Dwarka. Then the very next day, without trying to obstruct him in any way, I will let him leave for Vraja at an auspicious time of the day. This I swear to you 1,000 times over. After all, how can we who came here with Krishna go home without him? What will people say about us? You are a great scholar in all matters. So please forgive me for making this request of you." Next, Ugrasena addressed Nanda Maharaj, "My dear master of Vraja, I bear witness to Vasudev's statement and take this solemn vow. I will send Krishna back to Vraja, even if I have to do it by force." Then Lord Krishna, joined by Uddhava and Balram, spoke to Nanda in private. He said, "Dear father, if I go directly to Vraja today, leaving aside all these Vrishnis, they will die from the pain of separation from me. Then many thousands of enemies more powerful than even Keshi and Arishta will come to annihilate all these kings. So I am omniscient. I know what is inevitably going to happen to me. Listen, I will describe it to you. After returning to Dwarka, I will receive an invitation from Yudhishthir and go to Indraprastha to participate in the Rajasoya sacrifice. There I will kill Shishupal, after which I will again return to Dwarka and kill Shalva. Next, I will travel to a place just south of Mathura to save you by killing Dantavakra. I will then go back to Vraja, see all my old friends and again sit in your lap with great pleasure. Indeed, with great happiness, I will spend the rest of my life with you. God has written this fate on my forehead, and it has been written on your foreheads that until the day I return, you must tolerate separation from me. Neither of our destinies can possibly be changed. So please find the courage to leave me here for now and go home to Vraja. And if in the meantime you, my dear parents, And you, my beloved friends, are distressed by the unavoidable fate written on our foreheads. Then whatever you wish to feed me, then whenever you wish to feed me some delicacy or play some game with me or simply see me, just close your eyes and I will appear before you to turn your torment into sky flowers and fulfill all your desires. I promise you this, and the young friends of mine whose lives I saved in a forest fire can vouch for it. Convinced by all these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance, Nanda Maharaj accepted the gifts offered him and took his leave accompanied by the Yadu's large army. Om Jnanadimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Chagrajatam Raksagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhuvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare So there are three more verses. The last three verses of this chapter do not have purport, so we'll just read those verses. I'll just read the translation of the 69, 70, 71. Unable to withdraw their minds from Lord Govinda's lotus feet where they had surrendered them, Nanda and the cowherd man and woman returned to Mathura. Their relatives having thus departed and seeing that the rainy season was approaching, the Vrishnis whose only lord was Krishna went back to Dwarka. They told the people of the city about the festive sacrifices performed by Vasudev, the lord of the Yadus, and about everything else that had happened during their pilgrimage, especially how they had met with all their loved ones. So this last five verses of the chapter which we are covering today, 67 to 71, I'll just read the translation of this verse once again. Then after Vasudev, Ugrasen, Krishna, Uddhava, Balram and others had fulfilled his desires and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen and varieties of priceless household furnishings, Nanda Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and the residents of Vraja. Right? So actually, as Nanda Maharaj himself says, Nanda Maharaj and the Brajavasis, they came to Kurukshetra on this pretext of the solar eclipse, not to gain piety but to gain Krishna. They had come to actually take back Krishna with them. And here it is mentioned that, you know, finally they departed without Krishna. So this verse suggests Ugrasen, Vasudev and everyone else, they gave them lot of precious ornaments, gift, linen, you know, household furnishing, etc. And they were satisfied with that. You know, it may seem to be like that. So therefore the Vishwanath Thakur has given elaborate purport. Nanda Maharaj accepted this gift, but actually there was so much conversation which took place. Vasudev spoke, Ugrasen spoke, Krishna finally spoke. So understanding that it is the desire of Krishna, as Prabhupada writes over here, in convinced by all these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance. Again, they parted without Krishna for Krishna's happiness. Right? Because Nanda Maharaj, here in this purport, he says that, he is telling Vasudev, you please instruct Krishna that he should, today only we are departing from Raja, he should come with us. Right? And he tells Ugrasen, you should order Vasudev. And if you don't do, I am not also going back. I am going to drown myself in Parashuram Lake. And if you have any doubts about it, just watch. Right? I will do it now itself. Like that. So, in this way, this is a very heartfelt conversation. The deep love of Nanda Maharaj comes out in this episode. Right? Also, this is a very beautiful statement here. Nanda Maharaj says, my dear son, for one drop of perspiration from your divine face, I am ready to give up countless lives. Right? So, another point which comes out here in is Vasudev and Ugrasen, they both speak diplomatically to Nanda Maharaj. Right? We know, you know, diplomacy has its utility. Although diplomacy should be actually simple. That's the prime importance. It's a prime Vaishnava quality that one should practice simplicity. But sometimes we see that our acharyas have used diplomacy as a tool, right? You just use it and then keep it aside. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they use diplomacy as a tool in order to get rid of material association and surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely, right? So for that purpose, for the higher purpose, they use this diplomacy as a tool, right? But all these acharyas, they use diplomacy as a tool with ordinary materialistic people in dealing with them, right? So to deal in a worldly way with the worldly men, sometime this tool has been used by our acharyas. But herein we see something very striking. Vasudev, who is pure devotee and father of Krishna, is speaking diplomatically to Nanda Maharaj, another father of Krishna. So there's a diplomacy between the two fathers of Krishna. Right? So Vasudev speaks diplomatically. What does Vasudev says? He says, by all means I must send Krishna back to you. You know, just if we just go without Krishna, what will people speak? And he says, there are so many helpless poor women who have come with us. On the way someone may attack, you know. So actually, Krishna, we will just go back with Krishna. Immediately, we will send Krishna. Right? Very next day, we will send Krishna back to you. I swear this 1,000 times over, he says. Vasudev says. I swear this 1,000 times over. Ugrasena says, by chance Vasudev changes his mind. I am the king. I will force him. Krishna will have to leave. He can't disobey my order. Right? I will forcibly send Krishna back to Vraja. Ugrasen says. They both do not mean that way. Right? They have a sympathy towards Nanda Maharaj. They are sympathetic. But they are also diplomatic in these talks. Vishwanath Thakur points out that Vasudev, who is in the expert in the art of diplomacy, he pacified Nanda Maharaj in this way. We say, why, you know, pure devotee is speaking diplomatically to innocent, simple Nanda Maharaj. Why should it be like that? He said, what to speak of Vasudeva Ugrasen, even Krishna speaks diplomatically over here to Nanda Maharaj. I'll just read the words of Krishna himself. Krishna says, God has written this on my forehead, and it has been written on your forehead that there, up till some more time we have to tolerate separation. So Krishna says, I will kill Shishupal, Shalva, Dantvakra, and then I will come. So till then, God has written this on our foreheads. Right? Actually, Krishna has used this argument with the gopis also. Krishna told, you know, this is the destiny that we need to be separated. The gopis said, you are cheating us. You are the maker of destiny. What your destiny you are talking of? Right? So the gopis had caught off this, you know, this argument. So herein, but Nanda Maharaj is very simple. So Krishna is saying, look, God has written. Which God you are talking of? You are Godhead, right? Is there any God superior to you? So Krishna is talking of, God has written this. So Krishna is also actually speaking diplomatically over herein. But Krishna is speaking diplomatically in order to preserve the rasa, Vasala Rasa of Nanda Maharaj. Right? So Krishna presents himself as an ordinary human, as their son, and he has some duties to perform, right? And therefore he will soon come. So Krishna speaks for that purpose. And Vasudev and Ugrasen, they speak diplomatically to carry out Krishna's will. They also understand that even Krishna at this point of time doesn't want to go. Right? So in this way, for these higher purposes, they speak diplomatically to Nanda Maharaj. Right? So we see actually Nanda Maharaj believes everyone. You know, Nanda Maharaj is very simple. Has a simple disposition. He doesn't understand diplomatic dealings, right? So Nanda Maharaj, he believed that yes, you know, this is what they are saying is right. So another place where Nanda Maharaj's simple disposition of heart comes forth is his meeting with Vasudev when he had gone, right? In the chapter 6th of the 10th Leela, we are not discussing 84th, where Nanda Maharaj goes to pay taxes to Kamsa. There he meets Vasudev, right? And there was a very heartfelt discussion with Vasudev. And after that, Vasudev tells Nanda Maharaj, my dear brother, since you have paid the annual taxes and also seen me, do not stay in this place for many days. It is better to return to Gokul, since I know that there may be some disturbances there. Nehastheham bahutitham santi utpatas cha Gokule. Said, don't stay here long. I expect that there may be some disturbance in Gokul. Right? And when Nanda Maharaj thinking yes, there could be, you know, and then when Nanda Maharaj goes back to Gokul, he sees the huge body of Putana lying dead in the pasturing grounds, right? And they find out how this demon has came to attack Krishna, right? And then immediately Nanda Maharaj remembers the word of Vasudev, and Nanda Maharaj says, Nunam Bhatarishi Sanjato Yogesho Vasamasasa Saiva Drishto Hi Utpato Yadaha Nakadundubhi. Nand Maharaj exclaimed, my dear friends, you must know that Anakadundubhi Vasudev has become a great saint. Nunam Bhatarishi Sanjato. Vasudev cannot be ordinary person, must be a great rishi, or must be a great master of mystic power. Yogesho vasamasasa saiva drishto hi utpato. He foresee this utpat, right? Already predicted. Must be great rishi, must be great yogic, having all the yogic power at his command, right? We are just thinking he's whom to be our simple relative, cannot be so. Right? So Prabhupada says, this verse illustrates the difference between Kshatriyas and innocent Vaishyas. By studying the political situation, Vasudev could see what would happen. Whereas Nand Maharaj, the king of the agriculturalist, could only guess that Vasudev was a great saintly person, Rishi, and had developed great mystic powers. Right? So Nand Maharaj took a political prophecy, you know, to be a great prophetic statement, like Trikal Darshi, you know, he could foresee everything. And Vasudev only predicted seeing the political situation, the mood of Kamsa, right, in Mathura. But Nand Maharaj understood it. No. Vasudev, great yogi, great rishi, like that. So the Vasudev's simplicity of heart, Nand Maharaj's simplicity of the heart, actually comes forward over herein. Right? So, so Nand Maharaj's heart is very simple, his love is very pure. There is a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which describes the five characteristics of the pure love of the gopis of Vrindavan, which is true for actually all the residents of Vrindavan. Right? So there are five characteristics of the pure love of the residents of Vrindavan. Kama gandhahin sobhavik gopi prema nirmala ujvala shuddha yena dagdha hema. Right? So kama gandhahin, first characteristic is this love is free from even a traces of lust. Right? Kama gandhahin. Right? Sometimes something is not visible, you know. Then you try to smell, you know, if there is a little something sticking to the surface, you know, suppose you want to understand that probably there is some food contamination may have occurred, you know, etc. Then you can't see anything visibly. Then you try to smell, is there any trace, right? So, he said, kama gandhahin, there is not a, what to speak of, visible impurity. There is not gandha, a slight trace of any selfish desires. Right? So we see here in Nanda Maharaj also, right? He just believed what Vasudeva Ugrasena said, accepted their grief gratefully and came back. Right? And as Prabhupada writes over herein, convinced by these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance. So Nand Maharaj didn't want to go, he wanted to just die in Lord Parashuram's lake in Kurukshetra. If he had to go without Krishna, that was not preferable. But understanding that his son would become unhappy, right? In either case, if he dies or if he just stays there and doesn't agree to return without Krishna, in both cases Krishna would be unhappy. So therefore, Nand Maharaj agreed to leave without Krishna, which was very painful for him, right? Or the most painful act for him. Right? So therefore, his love is kama gandhahin, without any trace or any smell of selfish desire. Then sobhavik, very natural, right? Very natural. It just flows, just like river Ganga naturally flows, right, toward the ocean. The love of Nanda Maharaj naturally flows towards Krishna. The third characteristic is nirmal. Right? Nirmal. Nirmal means there is no mala. There is no desire to perform fruitive activities. There is no desire to speculate, you know, on the jnana, like the jnanis. Nirmal. It is completely spotless. Right? Nanda Maharaj, they would perform traditional puja to Indra, as soon as Krishna said, give it up. Right? There is no attachment at all to any form of karma, jnana. Right? Therefore, it is nirmal. That is considered as mala in the context of pure devotional service. Ujjval, the fourth characteristic of their pure love. It is so brilliant, right? It is so brilliant that it spreads its illumination, right? That means all the practicing devotees, they get guidance. They can see the body, the pure standard. There is something for sadhakas to be aspired and inspired, right? Is ujjval, like a sun, right? A brilliant, a guiding principle for everyone. Then shuddh means it is completely pure. We say nirmal, shuddh looks like the same only, but nirmal would be a little neutral state. The shuddh is it is so pure that anyone who comes in slight contact becomes purified. A thing which is not contaminated may not have the purifying power, but their love is so pure that it just by a slight contact with them, the three worlds are purified, right? Actually, so in this way, these are the five characteristics of the pure love as described in this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
कामगंधहीन स्वाभाविक गोपी प्रेम निर्मल उज्ज्वल शुद्ध येन दग्ध हेम.
The example is given of दग्ध हेम, how it is supremely pure and brilliant, or उज्ज्वल is like the molten gold. So there are many other beautiful verses which glorify specifically the love of Nanda Maharaj. Right. Raghupati Upadhyaya has composed a beautiful verse. Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anya bhajantu bhava bhita aham ihanandam vande yasya linde param brahma. Those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship smriti, the corollaries of the Vedic literature. Others worship Mahabharat. As far as I am concerned, I worship Krishna's father Ananda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, is playing. Again, Parikshit Maharaj had asked this question to Sukhdev Goswami. Nanda kim akarod brahman shreyaeva mahodayan yashodava mahabhaga papo yasyasanam harihi. What did Nanda Maharaj do? Nanda kim akarod brahman shreyaeva mahodayan, that he became the father of Krishna. He developed such simple, such natural, such brilliant, free from all contamination, supremely pure love for Krishna. Right? Yashoda va mahabhaga papo yasya asanam hari. How has Mother Yashoda become so fortunate that Krishna calls her mother and sucks her breast milk? Right? So, in this way, there are so many verses which glorifies the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Right? So this Vrindavan is also known as Nandavraja. Right? This Vraja is known as Nandavraja. Vande Nandavraja Stri Naam Padarenu Avikshnasha Vyasam Hari Kathodgitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. Right? Vande Nandavraja Stri Naam. Uddhavji says, I offer my obeisances to all the these ladies of Vrindavan. Right? Vyasam Hari Kathodgitam. By their chanting of Krishna's glory, the three worlds are purified. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada writes that Vrindavan is a storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the abode of sweet opulences. Right? So this is Nanda Vraja, right? The Vraja of Nanda Maharaj, who possess such supremely pure, very natural, free from any selfish desires, brilliant, right? Love for Krishna. Prabhupada left this Nanda Vraja to go to Bauri. Right? This abode of the Lord, which is filled, which is the storehouse of Krishna mercy and the abode of sweet opulences. One side, Bauri, right? Which is like the other end of the spectrum, the most hellish place on this planet, right? You can see the description of Bauri in New York, right, where there is always the smell of liquor, you know, the bad smell of liquor always pervading, right, and the storehouse of all evils, right, all the crimes is the place of all the crimes, right. So one is the highest place in this, not just in the material world, but in the entire material and spiritual world. And one is like the hellish most place, right? The two, 180 degree opposite, the total other end of the spectrum, right? So Prabhupada left his Vrindavan to go to Bauri to form ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? So this is the 50th year we are celebrating of the incorporation of ISKCON. So I would like to speak briefly about Prabhupada's ISKCON, and specifically like to speak about the purposes which Prabhupada formed the ISKCON for. Right? So there is a very beautiful, very striking statement of Prabhupada. This is documented in Yamuna Mataji's book. Prabhupada is talking to his disciples. Prabhupada is saying, we are making a very gorgeous plan at Mayapur, and if you all together can give shape to this plan, it will be unique in the world. It will be a world center for teaching spiritual life. Students from all over the world will come, and we will revolutionize the atheistic and communistic tendencies of rascal philosophers. So, we must be responsible for this great task. Now here, this very striking line. Not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. That is my request to you all. It's very striking. Not for a single moment shall we be, Prabhupada includes him, shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. That is my request to you all. Right? Not for a single moment. You may say, every time we should be filled with thoughts for ISKCON. So what should we think of? Some ISKCON politics, diplomacy, problems, diplomacy, conflicts, right? What should we think of ISKCON, right? So the question may come, yeah, because any institution, see, actually, we must understand that everything, even spiritual, is covered over by a material covering in this world. There is a material covering, material aspect to it. Just like Prabhupada explained, Nir Dharma. Right? The water of the Ganges is completely spiritual, but over the surface we see many impurities. Right? It gets covered over. Prabhupada says, an intelligent person should see the spiritual essence beneath this material covering and learn to accept that. Right? And just neglect all the material coverings. Right. Just like when Yamuna Mataji, she left the body, and her ashes were brought here in India to be submerged. Some devotees suggested, you know, Yamuna and Vrindavan, there is no Yamuna water coming practically, you know, because so much sewage and everything contaminated. So we should not submerge Yamuna Mataji's ashes in Vrindavan. We should submerge up, you know, in the Himalayas. When where the it comes from Yamunotri, and you know, before it reaches New Delhi and Haryana, whatever, you know, that where the contamination begins, etc. We should submerge upper Yamuna, upper in the Himalayas. But the other, some senior disciples, they said, no, don't go from the external point of view. Yamuna, the pure spiritual waters of Yamuna are still flowing in Vrindavan, right? Those, they can never be contaminated. Now, I'm not saying that we should not do anything for external contamination, right? We have to do, even externally, if it is clean, it's so good, so many more people can appreciate. But whatever is external contamination, we should learn to see the spiritual essence beneath the material coverings. That is the point. So, the pure spiritual water of Yamuna still flows in Vrindavan, and the devotees should neglect the outer coverings and actually take the benefit of the pure spiritual waters. Okay. So therefore then the ashes were submerged in Vrindavan only, right? Because the senior disciples of Sannyasis of Prabhupada suggested that in Vrindavan only we should perform the submersion. So everything in this material world gets a covering of, you know, the material contaminations. Similarly, the institution, ISKCON also has these two aspects to it, right? There is the ISKCON, which is a purely spiritual organization aimed at fulfilling the seven purposes which Prabhupada listed. And of course, there are institutional, because being part of the material world, there are, and being an institution in this material world, there bound to be so many confusion, conflicts, problems, etc. What Prabhupada wants is to think of the pure spiritual ISKCON, right? Whose purpose is to fulfill Prabhupada's desires, which is sevenfold, right? So Prabhupada listed these seven purposes. We will briefly go through it. I would suggest that we remember one word from each purpose in order to remember all the seven. So I will suggest one word, so seven words. And with the seven words, we will be able to then we'll combine the seven into one, right? One word, so that we can, from one word we can expand into seven word, then seven word we can expand into seven purposes, right? So we will do that, right? Because Prabhupada wants us to always remember ISKCON. And this is not for a moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts, right? So first purpose, as Prabhupada says, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace. So if you see, actually this, the first purpose is talking of education, right? So please remember the word education. First purpose Prabhupada begins with, we have to educate people, right? Everyone is actually is born in the darkness of ignorance. People needs to be educated. Educated, Prabhupada basically first purpose educated in three things. Educate people in, as Prabhupada says, spiritual knowledge. First thing is knowledge. Second thing Prabhupada says is spiritual techniques. Third thing, spiritual values. It is the same as knowledge, skill and values. You know that model, this model of knowledge, skill, values. Prabhupada talks of that. Educate people in spiritual knowledge, spiritual skills, spiritual values. Right? Spiritual knowledge is what person should know. Spiritual skill means what a student, what a student should know is spiritual knowledge. What a student should do, spiritual skills, right? And spiritual values means what a student should become, his character. So these three things Prabhupada talks of in the very first purpose. Educate, right? Education is the key word. Education should be given in spiritual knowledge. Skills, as we know, so many devotees do so many practical services for Krishna. And then their character, spiritual values, they should become what they should become. So, Rasmandal Prabhu says, Prabhupada used the word systematic, right? This should be systematic. Education in this spiritual knowledge, spiritual skills and spiritual values has to be systematic, right? In other words, Rasmandal Prabhu says, it should be a formal education, right? There should be formal classes, there should be daily exam, right? Kind of, right? I'm just talking of Vidyapeeth model. So, but systematic, proper classes, modules, here the course is covered, exam is taken, right? So the person is systematically trained. Again, Rasmandal Prabhu says, this systematic education in these three aspects is one of the most important ways of constructively addressing ISKCON's all internal problems. He said, if we can focus on the very first purpose of Prabhupada, that there be a systematic education in these three aspects, then that will be the most constructive way of addressing all ISKCON's internal problems. Now this ISKCON is the institutional problems, right? So that is the first purpose. Regarding first purpose, Anuttama Prabhu says, your vision was to lift all mankind and leave no one behind. As you stated, I am unable to think small. Right? So, second purpose, go to. To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So the second purpose Prabhupada saying, this education which we are going to give, it will be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Right? This education which talked about in the first purpose. So remember the word Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Because Bhagavad Gita is included in Srimad Bhagavatam in one sense. There is the Uddhava Gita, expansion of Gita. Right? It's a broader, it includes the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita also. So, second purpose, Prabhupada said, the education talked in the first point will be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam. Sasuru Maharaj writes about the second purpose. It was not that a new religion was being born in July of 1966. Rather, the eternal teachings of Godhead or the eternal preachings of Godhead known as Sankirtan was being transported from east to west, and this new consciousness in the west would come about through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, in this way the second purpose is linked to the first. Then, the third purpose. So, the first word you should remember is education. Second purpose you should remember by the word Srimad Bhagavatam. Third purpose, to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, and thus develop the idea within the membership and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. So, Sasuru Maharaj writes about the third purpose. The society members would come together. Right? Remember the word together, the third purpose. When there is education based upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it will bring people together. Together to each other, closer to each other, and closer to Krishna. Prabhupada talks of these two things. Right? They will come together, nearer to each other, and closer to Krishna. Right? So, that's the third purpose. Right? So, we go to the fourth purpose. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So after the education begins in spiritual knowledge, spiritual skills and spiritual values, which will be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, people will come together, nearer to each other, nearer to Krishna. After coming together, Sankirtan will spread. Right? The propagation of Sankirtan will take place then. Right? So, which is the desire of Mahaprabhu? As per the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the fourth word, you should remember, to remember the fourth purpose is Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. Right? Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. Because that is the desire of Mahaprabhu. Right? Prithvite Acheyadanagaradigram Sarvatra Prachar Bhaibe Mora Nam. Right? Sankirtana Pravartaka. So there are many beautiful verses. I'll just discuss few verses about the glory of Sankirtan, which is the desire of Mahaprabhu. Right? So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Sankirtana Pravartaka Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sankirtana Yagya Tare Bhaje Sai Dhanya Saita Sumedayar Kubuddhi Samsar Nama Yagya Haite Sarva Yagya Haite Krishna Nama Yagya Sar. He says, Sankirtana Pravartaka Shri Krishna Chaitanya. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of Sankirtan. One who worship Him with Sankirtan, He is very fortunate. Says the Sumed Ar Kubuddhi Samsar. He is the only intelligent person. Everyone else is actually foolishly wasting his life. Right? Sarva Yagya Haite Krishna Nam Yagya Sar. A sense of all the sacrifices is to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So there are other many beautiful verses. Nama Sankirtana Haite Sarva Nartanash, Sarva Shubodaye Krishna, Premira Ullas. By chanting of the Nama Sankirtan, all the inauspicious things are destroyed. Haite Sarva Nartanash, Sarva Shubodaye, and everything auspicious, right, arises. Sarva Shubodaye Krishna Premira Ullas. One achieves the love of the jubilation of love for Krishna by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Harshe Prabhu kahen sun sarup Ram Rai Nam Sankirtan kalo param upaye. In great ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramanand Rai that there is no better means of deliverance in the age of Kali Yuga than the chanting of the holy names, right, than performance of Sankirtan. So, in this way, Sankirtan, the chanting of the Lord's holy name, is glorified profusely, and it is Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. Right? So, the fourth purpose we will remember by the word Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. First word to remember is education, second is Srimad Bhagavatam, third is together. After this education takes place, we will come together, and then together for what? For spreading of Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. Right? Fifth purpose of ISKCON as Prabhupada drafted, conceived of, is to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada talks of temple over herein. Right? After the Sankirtan spreads, we will need facility for all the members to come to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to glorify Krishna. Right? So in the fifth purpose, in the line, Prabhupada says that there should be we should erect a holy place of transcendental pastime. A holy place of transcendental pastime, please remember, by the word, a temple. As Prabhupada said, let there be a temple. Right? So, which will be this temple is for, again, for the members, as well as for the society. Right? The society will also benefit. And Sasurumar writes about this fifth purpose. Is this referring to something beyond the storefront? Prabhupada is talking. Yes, certainly. He never thought small. He seemed to know that he would have temples filled with devotees. Right? So in this way, as Mr. Rubin testified that, right, the subway conductor who had met Prabhupada on a Manhattan Park bench in 1965, he remembers, he seemed to know that he would have temples filled with devotees. There are temples and books, he said, they are existing, they are there, but the time is separating us from them. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada conceived of many temples. But he writes, the purpose to erect up for the members and society a large a holy place of transcendental pastime. For society at large, a holy place of transcendental pastime, right? So which is a temple. The sixth purpose of Prabhupada, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. Right? Now, after the temples are there, people in the cities, they can come sometimes to temple, right? Of course, by participating in temple, kirtan programs, etc., people make advancement, right? But now Prabhupada is going one step ahead, saying that the members, they come together, but they should come more closer to each other. So Prabhupada is now conceiving of now farm communities over here, right? In this, to bring the members closer together, right? They came anyway closer earlier, but not more close, right? More intimately together they should come. Because that Prabhupada writes in another purport in the first canto that this city life, modern civilization, it saps the most vital energy of humankind. Right? The most vital energy. We know the city life, you know, just to make the two ends meet, right? Just to maintain a very simple standard of living also, just to have even one or two BHK and a simple lifestyle, one has to work very hard in city life, right? So city life saps the most vital energy of mankind. Therefore Prabhupada conceived that in order for one's Krishna consciousness to take another level, people have to take this step actually, that they come together and they actually simplify their life. You know, this is not easy actually. This is something to be realized. Right? Prabhupada gave the blueprint, but a lot of actually thought process and the work is going on to realize this end. It's not an easy thing actually. Where there are many, many people can settle and their main priority can be hearing and chanting. Right? So much more time can be spent in hearing and chanting of Krishna, right? Just like we have a Vidyapit in our Govardhan Eco Village, where the students, they attend morning Bhagatam class 1 hour, then 3 hours their Vidyapit class, and then 4 hours the self-study, right? So the 8 hours of Srimad Bhagatam daily, right? So, right, which is unimaginable in city life, right? What to speak of 8 hours, you know, 8 hours in a month is very difficult in city life sometimes. Right, open the book becomes difficult. So, but if this purpose can be realized, so much more time can actually be spent in the direct activity of Krishna consciousness, whether it is Bhagatam, deity service, chanting the holy name of the Lord, right? So much more time, and that can actually enhance a person's consciousness and take it to another level. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada conceived of these farm communities, right? And Prabhupada wanted this farm communities to be like Vrindavan, right? At the first farm community in ISKCON, Prabhupada gave the name New Vrindavan. Right? This should be Vrindavan method of worship, Vrindavan way of living, right? The Vrindavan lifestyle of always hearing and chanting about Krishna, right? So these farm communities, Prabhupada conceived of having a Vrindavan prototype, right? Farm communities. So, the first purpose, let's just quickly go through, is the education in spiritual knowledge, spiritual skills, spiritual value. The second purpose, this education has to be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. The third is, after the education spreads, people will come together to each other and nearer to Krishna. Nearer to each other, nearer to Krishna. This is the third purpose. Fourth purpose, after they come together, closer, what will happen? Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan will spread. Right? Many, many more devotees will come. Then we will need a transcendental place of holy pastimes, which is a temple. We need a temple for members and for society. Right? There's the fifth purpose. And the sixth purpose, Prabhupada said, but that's not sufficient in one sense. You know, we have to go ahead, have a simpler, natural way of life, and enhance Krishna consciousness. That's the sixth purpose. Form communities. Form community is the sixth purpose. And the seventh purpose, Prabhupada says, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. To realize these six purposes, the seventh purpose is given. With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, the six purposes, we have to have publishing and distribution of books, magazines, periodicals and various kind of literature. You know, nowadays e-magazines, whatever, you know, e-literature. Right? So the distribution of literature to achieve the six purposes. So the distribution is the key word to understand the seventh purpose. Right? So, who could have estimated for what purpose Prabhupada is going to US? Right? Who could have estimated that Prabhupada would fulfill the seven purposes in such a short duration of life? Prabhupada, to a great extent, he fulfilled the seven purposes actually. Right? But still he left a lot of things for us to do, because spiritual life is never stagnant. Right? He fulfilled to a good extent, and to a good extent he left also for us to do. Right? So we will combine the seven purposes into one word for further easy remembrance. Right? And that word is estimated. Who could have estimated the seven purposes? Right? By Prabhupada's mercy, now we are able to, and by the mercy of the disciples, now we are able to estimate. Right? But otherwise, who could have estimated? So the word estimated. E stands for education. S stands for Srimad Bhagavatam. T and I stand for together intimately. Right? Prabhupada writes together, intimately they should come together. Right? Closer to each other, closer to Krishna. ESTI. TI is together intimately. M is Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. AT, ESTIM, AT is a temple. And Prabhupada said, let there be a temple, right? A holy place of transcendental pastimes. And then E is establishment of farm communities, right? As we said, farm communities. For enhanced Krishna consciousness, E. And D is distribution of literature. All the above will be fulfilled by the distribution of literature, right? So in this way, the word estimated will help us to estimate the seven purposes. And actually, always think of ISKCON in terms of these purposes. As Prabhupada said, not for a moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. This is my request to you all. Right? So, we have to think of ISKCON in terms of these seven purposes which Prabhupada desired to be fulfilled through ISKCON. Right? So, this is the spiritual ISKCON as, just like Krishna is worshipable and his dham, so Prabhupada is worshipable and so is his ISKCON. Right? We are talking of the spiritual society which is geared towards fulfilling the seven purposes. So, I will just quickly speak seven verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will recite them corresponding to the seven purposes of ISKCON. Right? So you can map the seven yourself. I will just recite the seven verses, right? Since we are already crossed the time. So for the first purpose, Mahaprabhu instructed education. Yare dekhe tare kah Krishna upadesh, amar agya guru hai tare desh. Second purpose, Mahaprabhu described. Krishna tulya bhagavat vibhu sarvashray, prati shloke prati akshre nana arthakay. Srimad Bhagavatam is that grace that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. The next third purpose, Krishna bhakti janma mula hai sadhu sang, Krishna prema janme te ho puna mukhya ang. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. For the fourth purpose, we already recited that verse, again I'm reciting.
Sankirtana pravartak Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Sankirtana yagya tare bhaje sei dhanya.
For the fifth purpose, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan Goswami.
Vrindavane Krishna seva Vaishnava sevan, Bhakti Smriti Shastra kari kariha pracharan.
Vrindavane Krishna seva, Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan style of temple worship. Established deity worship, the Vrindavan way of deity worship. Right? That is the fifth purpose. Then sixth purpose is establishment of farm communities. Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami, who wanted to travel with Mahaprabhu,
Prabhu kahe tomar kartavya amara vachan nikate asiya cha tumi yaha Vrindavan.
Your duty is my instruction. You have come so close, go to Vrindavan, right? Stay in the Vrindavan farm community. So Mahaprabhu established Vrindavan as a, you know, he sent many disciples there, right? To live very simply and have a life centered around hearing, chanting and propagation of his message, right? He sent Sanatan Goswami similarly. He sent Subuddhi Rai, Prabhu kahe iha haite yaha Vrindavan. So there are many devotees, lords sent to Vrindavan. That's the sixth purpose. And the seventh, again Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan Goswami,
Tumiha kariha bhakti shastre ra prachar, Mathurai lupta tirthir karira kariha udhar.
Right? You, Tumiha kariha bhakti shastre ra prachar. You write the books about devotional service and preach. Right, distribute the literature. Right? In this way, in accordance with the instruction of Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada formed International Society for Krishna Consciousness and listed its seven purposes. And we pray to Radha Gopinath, to Prabhupada, that we can always remember these seven purposes of ISKCON, and we can follow Prabhupada's instruction, which is not for a moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. That is my request to you all.
Jai Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitaye Gaur Premanandu.
Sorry, we went quite ahead of time. Kindly forgive for that.
मैं तो पहली बार समझा सेवन प्रपसेस ऑफ इस्कॉन को
दैट वाज अ बी व्हाट अ वंडरफुल एक्सीलेंट